חושב שהמילה הכי חשובה בכל התנך, במילה אחד, הנני. ומיוחד בגלל הקונטקסט, מופיע כמה פעמים, אבל הקונטקסט של אלוהים שואל אברהם, איפה אתה? אלוהים, הכל מיוחד, לפי הקבלה, אלוהים, זה הכל בפנים של הבפנים שלנו. אז הבפנים של הבפנים שלנו שואל, איפה אתה? וכל מה שאנחנו צריך לעשות זה להגיד, כן, הנני. בעיניי זה בסיס של כמעט כל תרגול מדיטטיבי. הבסיס זה התחושה של שאנחנו קיימים, ההוויה, החיות, our capacity to welcome everything that arises, however comfortable or uncomfortable, as what life, the gift of life. This shifts a little bit the perspective. Very often we think meditation is a technique, there's something we need to do step by step. It has that in it, yes. But underneath, we will not go wrong if for 7 days in this retreat we are just fully available, hineni, here I am, hineni, here I am. So it's a small reminder, we need just to be available. On top of that, yes, there are wise teachings and ways of practice, indeed. But we can, by the way, start meditations or finish meditations with a little time on no specific experience, but just a sense of openness, a sense of connectedness, especially as we walk. A sense of openness. The tree and myself are partners on this earth. That's awareness. We are together. That openness is, we can go there here at times. When we feel stuck, for example, we feel a bit locked in, we feel a little bit too inside and too closed up, then we can open the gaze. Sound is a very good place for this. Listening to sound, because sound is very open. The sense of the space, like we did in walking, in the standing yesterday. So it's a small reminder of a possible place that we can go now and then. That is very clear, hineni. Here I am in the world. And then we practice mindfulness. And mindfulness is the power of the mind. The power of the mind. It's like shining a light on places that we've forgotten. When we walk, the feet being mindful of what it's touching, the toes, we know what the toes are experiencing as they touch the earth and the grass. It's not that we're inventing anything, it's just that we forgot what the toes are telling us. And we are so busy in our head thoughts, dreams, future, past, issues, tasritim, stories, problems, etc., that we just simply withdrew the awareness from the whole being. We just withdrew it. We sort of sucked it all up into the mind. So we just need to give it back. The toes, you know, certainly knew what they were doing. The toes have an intelligence, but we forgot. We forgot to what the intelligence of the toes are like. So mindfulness is not inventing anything. It's just returning our awareness to places that we withdrew. We took awareness away. And as we do that, there is a big gift, matana gdola, and that is to get close to the senses, chushim. You can call it eros. The senses opening their gateways to the world, they let in the world, they explore the world. And just have in mind a small story by Hermann Hesse that just popped up in my memory as a child, about a child who was in a garden and he used to play in the garden. And mostly he would spend hours diving into the heart of a flower and really looking at the beauty of it and the structure of it and the divine quality of it and the enchantment of it. And then he grew up and he became a doctor and he went to the city and he had jobs and he forgot and eventually he became an old man and he came back to this place and he saw a cave and he knew he had to go into this cave to die. And that was his place of death. And as he went into this cave, he saw it was the same flower. So it's the eros, the senses are where we really live. And we are trying in the practice to make everything more immediate, more direct, bli tivuch. When we know something, we know it like the wind on the cheeks. It doesn't need interpretation. The wind on the cheeks is just experiencing directly through the senses, and it's enough. So this immediacy, miyadiyut, keeps us in touch with life. And slowly, slowly, and without pressure and without trying too hard and without measuring, if we keep going with our direct knowing through the senses, sense of being available to what arises, then there'll be less processing, ibud, less busyness with our reactions, responses, doubts, narrative stories, comments, parshanuyot. It will just take the weight away from them, take the energy away from them. We're not trying to shut down our responses to life. Machshavot, tekuvot, we're not shutting them down, but we just give them less energy, less importance, by being connected directly through the senses to this life. Inside and outside. Life inside, the body, mind. Life outside, the trees, the sky. So one of the places that's important for us to pay attention to is to reduce the tendency, hanitiya, to be selective, to choose this more than that. Adifuyot. Adif li zeh velo zeh. זה יותר מעניין אותי וזה פחות. זה נעים וזה לא נעים. אז אני רוצה את הנעים. To a little bit reduce the investment in selection, in judgment. So, there is plenty of places in the Dharma which are development, that is, we develop qualities in us. Tipuach, such as calmness and harmony and peace and trust. We do develop qualities here actively, love. But still, underneath, there is a very important sense of a freedom. This arises, and then that arises. This may be pleasant or unpleasant. We don't keep choosing. That's the normal mind. The normal mind builds ourself as a result of choosing this, not that. זה חשוב לי, זה לא חשוב לי. זה מעניין אותי, זה לא מעניין אותי. בא לי זה, לא בא לי זה. Like my grandchildren. When I hear them say, בא לי, לא בא לי, something in my spine goes, oof. Can you find another language? Bali, lo bali. So today, I think we can begin to open a bit more Vedana, the second foundation. Vedana is that sense of immediate, pleasant, unpleasant of experience. And again, being all we need to do is be less choosy, less selective, less usual automatic mind that says, prefer this, madifate. So when we do that, it also reduces the processing, the issues, the building up, the stories, because they're not that interesting. Okay, unpleasant, yes. Pleasant, yes. We don't need to turn it into, oh, why should this this pain in my knee, it's unpleasant, it's definitely going to do, it's definitely a problem, I'm not meditating, it should be different, I shouldn't be like this. And processing, processing, processing. No, it's pain in the knee. We get close to it. It's unpleasant. The hands are pleasant. So there is pleasant and there's unpleasant in this body frame. There's some of you beginning to experience hindrances. And hindrances are tricky because they appear like problems in meditation. Like tiredness and switching off. Like cannot settle down, restlessness. Like always looking for something better, like resistance or anger or the whole thing is terrible. The teachers are really a disaster and this place is awful and it's cold and miserable and I don't know why I'm here. Get me out of here, please. Helicopter. We have to understand the hindrances as visitors that are there, and we, again, trusting our experience, welcoming our experience, that sometimes is not easy. If we feel tired, we think, oh no, I cannot be mindful, I'm so sleepy. Every time I sit in the hall, I fall asleep, so how can I be mindful if I'm falling asleep? The answer is you can. If you understand that tiredness, tendency to fall asleep is a hindrance, meaning it's coming from our inner world, we sit here quietly, minding our own business. We've had 3 cups of coffee already in the morning, and we fall asleep. It just happens. So we have to actually look at it again and say, okay, this is a visitor, not a problem. And as a visitor, I will engage with this visitor, because like the Rumi poem, all visitors are messengers that bring messages from beyond. So it's a messenger. We may not understand what it's telling us at the beginning, but it's a switching off. It's something in the mind shuts down. Okay, I see it as it happens, I see it as the beginning, I see the heaviness, I see the dreaminess, I see what happens when I come out of it, I see what I do with it. So it opening it up into a exploring it. And the same with the other hindrances. They can often carry messages from somewhere else, like a message of fear or a message of anger or a message of something else in the unconscious mind that can't express itself through language or thought. The only way it can express itself is through these mind-body phenomena like restlessness, tiredness. The unconscious mind can't necessarily give it to us like a rational explanation. It's just stuff floating up from the unconscious, because it's stuff. And it floats up as mind-body experiences. So I do like the in the MBSR, and you know, they use the word rain, and I think it's quite a good way of describing this, remembering how to work with it. Rain is recognized, these when they turn up, these visitors. In other words, not see them as a problem, but recognize them as a visitor. What are they? How they are expressed in us. And secondly, accept or allow them as visitors. Thirdly, investigate, explore their nature as an experience, really get close. And N is non-identify, E is dahut, stepping out. So it's quite a good sort of slogan or headline. Also today, I would invite you to explore a bit more deeply the level of the body, subtle body, energy body. Just go under the surface a bit more. What's flowing around the tissues, the cells? What's hatchushot, chi, energa, hachayim? What's it like? To go a little bit more subtle, explore a bit more deeply. Where is the breath going? Where is it not going? How is one breath different from the other? Go quiet and listen to quiet voices in the body and in the mind. So talking about the mind, also, many of you are saying, I can't meditate, impossible. The mind is like one big cacophonia, big noise. One thing we forget is that when we're on retreat, we see the mind. In daily life, we don't see the mind, we just do it. We have a thought and we act, we have a thought and we talk, we have a thought and we go to the computer. We don't know that we have a thought. So here, in the silence and in the practice and mindfulness, we actually see the mind, and the first thing we see is, oh my God, what a mess. Okay, but we see that, and we can trust the process, that it's more important for us to see the mess, and we can start slowly to clean it. So we need to kind of be kind to the mind. It's okay that the mind is running away with us. We can bring it back, we can step out of the mind, we can see the mind as a movie and step out of the movie. We can feel a sense of awareness in which we are aware of the mind, or we are a witness to the mind. We can feel those, maybe for moments, but more or less. All that is fine. But be kind to the mind, it's all right. We need to trust the process. And allow in the insights that come, firstly, anicca, a word about anicca. Really see that things flow past. Rishoniyut, miyadiyut. Everything is fresh, arising and going. Can we see the ending of a thought? The beginning and an ending of a thought? Can we see the beginning and ending of a breath? Can we see the beginning and ending of an experience, a touch, the sound of the bell? Everything is arising, there, disappearing. And if we look at it like that, it kind of gets out of the dramas, the dramot. Things are arising and passing. The biggest drama we're sitting here with will stop the moment the bell for lunch rings. As soon as the bell rings, gone. The cosmic drama, gone. So we can pay attention to a freedom that comes from seeing that things have Chaye madaf ma'od ma'od katsar. They pass by very quickly. Nothing stays. We look here with our head there, the world looks like that. We move our head there, the world has looked totally different. What's happened to that look? Gone. In every moment of our senses, the world goes and disappears. And a new world is made. Just be aware of that as much as we can. And anatta, the insight about selfing. Again, I have to say it again. Don't try. And develop theories, ideas about non-self. Not what we're doing here. We don't want to make non-self another form of clinging and obsession and goal, and that we don't really understand it anyway. It's not that. Anatta will be understood when we see life as more phenomena, tofa'a, tofa'ot, that arise and pass by. The wind on the cheeks doesn't need me. A breath, does it really need me to say my breath? If we just do the practice, we will understand slowly, slowly, that the self is not always needed, is not always in the center, is not always so relevant. The senses connect to the world. And in that moment of senses, hachushim, connecting to the world, the me isn't always needed. So explore that. And sometimes the me will come up big time. Someone sits on our cushion, or someone takes our cup, or someone gives us an unpleasant look. And we are, they're there against me, they're this, I'm, and there's, it's all wrong, and I'm like this. And it really is nothing at all. But the self has jumped up and turned it into some big story. So it happens. At that moment, don't say non-self, 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 but watch how the self as a phenomena arises when someone takes our cup and then goes. when we discover that they didn't take our cup after all. So relax. Let the retreat do its job. You don't need to understand everything. You don't need to work it all out. You don't need to understand non-self, self, non-self. You don't need to. I mean, it's okay to use the intellectual mind. The Buddha was not against that. And on the contrary, the sharpness and the clarity of a good mind is always helpful. But we have to know when to use it, how to use it. And in many cases, we want another kind of mind, which is the mind of direct knowing, the wind on the cheeks. So we'll take a few minutes of practice.